Joy to be here this morning. I'm glad to hear that Kevin is from Maine. I feel a little bit more comfortable now. I always kid our people about people from Massachusetts. But then I'm reminded that most of my people come from Massachusetts, so I have to be very careful about that. But we have not given Maine back to the Indians, they used to say when I was growing up. They won't take it. So we're stuck. But best of all, we live in New Hampshire. Beautiful country. Our scripture reading this morning is from the book of Joshua in the Old Testament. If you turn there with me, I'm going to be looking at a passage of scripture there. So grateful for the opportunity and the privilege that I have to celebrate with these young people. To this point, perhaps one of the high points of their life. We all remember our high school graduation. We were on top of the world. This was the time when we were finally free. No one from now on to tell us what to do. And then some of us joined the army. Always amazing to me that some young people say, I don't want to go to Christian school because I don't like rules. What are you going to do? I like to be free to do my own thing. Well, I'm getting married. Or I'm joining service. And they're well aware. I always smile when people say, I will not go to that school because of the rules. Which rule? Well, just all of them. And then they pick another one, and I just smile. We had a young lady graduate from here many years ago, and that was her favorite mantra, that she did not want to be anymore under rules. Where are you going? I'm going to Pensacola. Have at it. Well, she lasted a semester and decided she didn't want to be there either. And so it was an interesting track watching her find a place where there were no rules. She now works for a hospital. I hope they have rules there because that's how life works. It is a joy to be here. So glad to celebrate this occasion with you and proud of these young people. We were so glad to have the choir with us a few weeks ago. Our folks really enjoyed them. Just a thrill to see their smiling faces, and at this level, their knowledge capability has really reached the top. They are going to be high school graduates, some of them. Some of them still coming back for another year. What an opportunity you have. For those of you that are celebrating, this is going to be the culmination this next week of the hard work you've had at Dublin Christian Academy. Maybe you thought this day would never come. Maybe you prayed that it would even so come quickly. Well, it's about here. And you will be taking those gowns off this Saturday and starting in a new chapter in your life. You have been in a place. I hadn't been here in quite a while, and so when I came, I missed the turn. I wanted to be sure and have a GPS so I could find my way. But I couldn't understand what my GPS master was telling me, so I came in the back way. And I thought, here we are, out here in the Monadnock region of New Hampshire, away from all that you have had at home and in the culture from which you come, and put down in the grounds of Dublin Christian Academy. A bit of a change in life, I'm sure it was for you. You have worked hard. You've been in a place of great blessing, of training. You've been here to get the academic training that they could give you with a perspective that is very hard to find anywhere else, where the Bible is the truth of the Word of God revealed in every class in which you set down into. Yes, there's discipline here, not so that they can tell you what to do, but so that you will have the discipline to tell yourself what to do when they're not around. There's love here. I know sometimes when these teachers are pressing you that it may seem like they don't care about me. They really do. And you've experienced that. Above all, it's been a place dedicated to your spiritual development. It is our deepest prayer that all of these graduating do know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, that they indeed have a genuine walk with the Lord. And they here have sought to help you come to that point. But that is in your hands. That is in your relationship with the Lord. This has been a place to help you not only to be sure of your salvation, but to develop the calling that God has in the life, in your life, as He does for all of us. Dublin's also been a haven from the world for you. We live in a world that is at war with itself and with God. And this is just a place where you can have time to develop spiritually, academically, in every way, so that you will be better equipped to go out and make a difference in the world. Your class's slogan is, verses rather, are laudable. I think that is a tremendous passage of Scripture, and sometimes, like all Scripture that we hear, we say amen to it, and we're going to stand for it all of our lives until we have to be somewhere where we do have to. Wherefore, come out from among them and be separate and touch not the unclean thing. And I will receive you and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Tremendous verses. I hope that's your commitment in the years ahead. When others are not with you, there are no classmates around to kind of make you accountable, or to keep an eye on you, or when these teachers and leaders are not here to help guide you in your life, when you're on your own, I hope that'll still be your verse. Doesn't always happen that way. Sometimes young people graduate from Christian high school or Christian college, and when they get out into the real world, much of what they have been taught seems to wilt under the pressure that Satan exerts on us. I hope that will be your commitment. You may not be here in school. You may not have classmates that will be holding you accountable. I hope those of you going on to college will find one that will, where teachers are committed to training young soldiers for Christ, where they're committed to training you to bring out that best part of spiritual direction that God intends for you. I hope that's your prayer. It has been said that what is in your heart, the will and the emotions and the affections, what is in your heart now will be demonstrated in your life when all the restraints are let go. Some time ago, I was reading an article in which a man said, that question always comes up, whatever happened to so-and-so? They graduated, they were brought up in a Christian home, and they graduated from a Christian school, and they went on to Christian college, and now their lives are as if they had never been there. The writer of the article was saying that is simply the result of what was in their heart, even as they outwardly conformed in lifestyle because of parental guidance and teacher guidance. What will you be when there aren't any teachers around? There is no pastor for you to be able to confide in. What happens when your parents are not there to be the spiritual guides that God's called them to be? What's in your heart? And as we all know, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And God didn't qualify that. He just made that statement there. How deceitful our hearts are. We get so confused sometimes. It's easy to make commitments, isn't it? I'll be there. I'm glad to be at Dublin, and I'm going to keep the rules. I'll do whatever you ask of me. And then they say, did you make your bed? That's next. Or, I didn't think of it. It's easy to make a commitment. It's much more difficult to carry out, even though our intentions may be the best. Well, you're about to embark on a new life. How can you go forward in a life of godliness and commitment to Jesus Christ in the days ahead? Those of us, and I know you love hearing this, but those of us who have been where you sit, and we're looking back on the days that are going to be coming in your life. One writer said, it's so easy to get sidetracked. Cash, careers, cars, condos. And he put one there that I wasn't going to mention. He said, cuties. And then computers. Those things are out ahead for you. those trials, so easy to get sidetracked into those careers, caught up with those things. Everyone deals with that. One Christian apologist said, it's so easy to waste our lives. Put it this way. He put it this way. Meaninglessness does not come from being weary with pain, but meaningless comes from being weary with pleasure. All those things that we think we want in life become meaningless, he's saying. And it's a weariness of getting what I want, striving for what I desire to have, and when I get all done, still an emptiness in my life. Well, God intends that though our wallets be empty, our hearts be full. Our life have purpose. Our life have meaning. You're about to go from this place. As you go, I'm sure you've been quoting verses in Bible class and perhaps every other class you've been taught. A couple of promises God gives you today that I think are important for all of us to remember, whether we're in the graduating class or we are celebrating with them. Jeremiah 2:9-11, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, not evil, to give you an expected end." God has a plan for you. He has some thoughts. He knows exactly what His will is for you. The trick is for you to find out what it is and then do it. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, Paul told the Ephesians, unto good works. That's not just here. That's the summer. That's when you're no longer here. That's as you look forward to school. You realize that some people judge where they will work, where they will live, and where they go to school without any thought about the will of God in their life. And they wonder why their lives have taken the turn that they have. God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. It takes more than good intentions to leave here and have a life that is fulfilling God's plans for your life. I know you heard about dedicating your life to the Lord and going on for the Lord and line upon line, precept upon precept, and that's exactly what we need to hear. But the reality is about to take place with these high school graduates. We're going to look at Joshua this morning. Here's a man that God had chosen. Interesting, Moses was not the only one God chose to fulfill His will for the nation of Israel. When we read about Moses in the Pentateuch, we get to the end, and we come into Joshua, the book of Joshua, and we find that God had picked somebody else up to be the next one. Who will that next one be? When I came to New Hampshire, met Dr. Mel Moody, faithful servant of the Lord, and had done a great ministry here. But one day I came and there were services here because Dr. Mel had gone to be with the Lord. Who's going to follow? You see, it wouldn't always be Dr. Mel Moody. As much as people love him and we look forward to seeing him again, God had him for a time, but someone had to come along. And of course, you know the rest. I've been pastoring in that church. We started meeting on an old building on a hill, and then meeting in a former temperance building in the winter. The temperance union in the town of New Durham couldn't keep the building up, so they gave it to the church. So they had gotten to where there weren't enough drunks around that wanted to attend the meetings. They couldn't sustain the building, so they gave it to the church, five people. So when I came, that's where we met. I had promised the Lord I wanted to be back in New England. I had been in Michigan and North Carolina and went to school in South Carolina. And I always wanted to get back home. God didn't see fit. This opportunity came. I never dreamed I'd ever, number one, live in New Hampshire when I said home. And number two, I never thought I'd be in New Durham. So I told the Lord, all right, I'll go where you want me to go, but only for 4 years. And then I'm out of here. I've got to be where a lot of people if I'm going to minister. Well, it's 29 years now, and he said, stay where I put you. I think, well, here I am. But it's probably not going to be the case 29 years from now. It may not be the case 2 years from now. We've always listened for the Lord's direction and these things would happen. No, we can't, not now. You don't know what God has in store for you. But eventually, those who have tried to be faithful to serving the Lord are looking for you. We have 4 students home from the university. They came home. Two are graduated, and two more are still in undergrad. And they're coming home. I'm looking at these young people, kids we call them. They're not kids anymore. They're adults. I know it. They want to be. Their parents hope they'll be. I'm looking at these young people as not being a teen group anymore. I'm looking at them as taking a role in the church just as their parents have. Be deacons and Sunday school teachers and workers in the church. You don't really think, young people, that all this just happens and people are born to be deacons and Sunday school teachers. No, they're brought up. I want these young men to be adults. That's a role you're going to be looking at in the days ahead. So we look at him. We see here in chapter 1, if you just go down with me, the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore rise and go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. It goes on, verse 6, be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance. Notice Joshua is being given some added responsibilities. God had another man. Maybe you are the man or the woman that God has to serve him. Maybe in a local church somewhere. Maybe in a mission field. Surely God has a place for you. Don't miss it. It takes a special man to graduate. It takes a special student to graduate from a period of schooling to assume the roles of responsibility. We'll take a lot of time on it this morning, but if you think about Joshua, and I'm sure many are during this graduation time, his character. Joshua was a man, as you read what is God does tell us about him, was a man that had a strong character. I remember when I went to college, the founder stood up and said, the test of your character is what it takes to stop you. Little did I know what that meant at the time. What's it going to take to stop you? What is it that will happen to you that will make you turn your back on God? You go out of here as if you had never committed your life to Him. Joshua was a man of character. He had a commitment about him too. Those roads of commitment are sometimes very difficult to follow. Commitment to a goal has to require something prior to that for you to be used of God. That is, that you be committed primarily or in priority, your priority be, is that you be committed to Jesus Christ. That you will serve Him above all. Joshua demonstrated that. Notice his courage. Oh, he was a man that fought against seemingly insurmountable odds. He was a man who had the courage to do what was right in spite. Did he fear? I'm sure he did. Someone said, the courage that you have is what you have when you're afraid that others don't see. What kind of courage have you? Are you willing to sacrifice? We have these goals. I want to be a doctor. I want to be an engineer. I want to be able, one of my young people said to me the other night on visitation, he said, I want to be an anesthesiologist so that I can, they make good money, so I can help my parents. Well, that's a noble goal, but not that I doubt him. I'm sure he feels that way right now. But it isn't a matter of him helping his parents. It's a matter of him seeking the will of God. What does God want me to be? Joshua was a man of courage. His communion with God. When you read about Joshua, in nearly every case, he sought the will of God before he chose his course of action. Not every case, and one we do read about, it was a disaster. Let me say to you, young people, if you don't seek the face of God and the will of God for whatever you make, the decision you are about to make, If you don't do that first, you run the risk of a disastrous result. God's will has to be first. What God chooses doesn't matter what you like. When I visited the first mission field, I had the opportunity to visit. I had always wanted as a pastor to go and preach on the mission field. Then our youngest son, pastoring in Decatur, Alabama, was a teacher in the college that they had in Warsaw, Poland. And all my imaginations, I thought about the mission field, and it was about Poland. It was an interesting experience. I do not think I would like to live in Poland. But then that's immaterial when you're in the will of God. God puts a love in your heart for the people that He sends you to minister to. Have you thought about that? Joshua was that man who had a communion with God. He always put the Lord ahead. And then one thing about Joshua, he gets down to the end of that book, and you remember that verse, "You choose this day whom you'll serve, as for me and my house will serve the Lord." He continued all his life serving God. I'm always reminded in those times when I feel like a failure, those times when I don't see the goals that I had set in front of me realized, that as I look in the Scripture, my Lord simply says, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give you a crown of life." That God demands faithfulness of us. You are in a school that has stood for the Word of God all these years that it has been here. You have had placed before you fundamental Bible-believing pastors and evangelists and missionaries and youth workers. The images that you have always been these. I hope you continue that line. I hope you continue with those things you've been taught. Here he is in chapter 1. How did he do it? "As for me and my house." How do you live your whole life? How do you marry well? How do you make sure that you marry a believer who will be a helpmeet to you rather than not one that will destroy your testimony? Joshua had that. I think it is because he wholly followed the Lord, as did Caleb. He had a heart for God. I'd like us to think about that. "As for me and my house," he said, "we will serve the Lord." That at the end of his life, not in the beginning when he was under Joshua. Under Moses. When he became the leader of the nation of Israel, the determination was there to do what was right no matter what the cost. That's what God expects of all of us. He's about to graduate in this passage of Scriptures. He had 40 years of training in the wilderness. He'd watched his classmates fall out and die. There were just him and then one other man that walked into the land that time. Even Moses, his own leader, was set aside. Now he's responsible. As he gathered there, his slavery time was past. He'd been delivered that night by the blood as the death angel passed in during the first Passover. He'd had the experience of slavery. He'd had the experience of facing the hard tasks of life. And now he's prepared for the responsibility. Moses is dead. There is no one to go and get counsel from anymore. They're gone. One of the hardest experiences of my life was the man who led me to Christ when I was 18. He was from Savannah, Georgia, and then God planked him down in Linnaeus, Maine. God didn't plank down very many people in Linnaeus, Maine. Most of them leave home. But God put him there, and I'll never forget. Bill Regan was his name, and Bill said that when he landed in Maine, Kittery, Maine, he called the deacons of the church coming to pastor. He said, "I'm in Maine now. I should be there anytime." He was 9 hours away. It was dark when he got there. And when the sun came up, all he saw were potato fields and woods. And he said, "Lord, I'll preach today, but if you let me live through Sunday night, I promise I'll go back to Georgia and never ask to go out and preach again." He was going home, but that night I got saved. And I had no idea what God was going to do in my life. I did not have the benefit of being in a Christian school. I was on the other side of the fence. I was with a different crowd. To us, there was not intelligent life below Bangor. Life that was just what you heard on the radio or you saw on television. I didn't know that. And then when God called me to preach, I remember Bill saying, it's time to prepare. Hey, I'm a high school graduate. I'm already prepared for life. He said, if you're going to preach God's word, you need to be prepared. I said, okay, where do you want me to go? New Brunswick? He said, no, South Carolina. Where's that? If you think life is different when you go off to college today, can you imagine with my perspective? Worked in the woods through high school. Picked potatoes in the fall. Friday night was a big night. You went into the city of Holton with 7,000 people and celebrated. That was it. And they put me in that and put me in Greenville, South Carolina. Saw my first McDonald's. A lot of firsts that I saw when I got down there. In a culture foreign to anything that I could imagine. But God had put me there. It wasn't my willingness, but Him closing all the doors so I couldn't get home, so I had to stay. And I've never been back home since to live. God just kept moving us in different directions. Joshua was about to experience the same thing. Before he got to that level, when he was a slave, when they were in the wilderness, little did he realize that he was going to not only have the responsibility of this entire nation of Israel, but he had to go find them some land and divide it up and fight battles all the way. He had to do things he never thought he'd be faced with. You will too. How do you cope with those experiences that are ahead for you in life? Joshua was a leader. He was going to be placed, Joshua, on a level that he never dreamed of. You are going to face the same things. So how do you do it? Joshua had a long time ago determined that he would do the will of God no matter what. His heart was committed to serving God. That heart for God had certain characteristics about it that I think very quickly will fit with each one of us. I want to ask you this morning, do you have a heart for God? Joshua's was this. He had a heart for war. He didn't quit in battle. In Exodus 17, 9 through 14, the battle was going to toward Amalek, and he was commanded to gather men, choose men to fight in this battle. You're going to be part of the cause too. You are not going to be a Christian glorifying God if you don't attach yourself to God's people. If you don't have a Christian home, a godly home. If you don't have a good witness when you're at work. It's going to be tough. It's going to be a battle. It's going to be a challenge. In a church, God has given you a responsibility. You may not know where that is right now, but to be in a good, fundamental, Bible-believing church. You need the fellowship of God's people. You need to be involved with them. The Word of God you will have that will enable you to fight this battle. Now, whether you realize it or not, Christian life is a warfare. It's going to be against all of the forces of Satan that array themselves in front of you, from philosophies to lifestyles to everything else. And you, as a child of God stepping out from this place, are going to be stepping into that battle. You'll be fighting it. How will you be equipped? As I said, the Word of God and a good Bible-believing church is crucial to you amounting to anything for God. He had a heart for war. He also had a heart to wait on God's man. Interesting characteristic here. They were in the tabernacle. And Exodus 24:13. I'm sorry, not the tabernacle. They were at the foot of the mountain in Exodus 24:13. And Moses went up to the top. Joshua waited on him. He loved Moses. I want to suggest to you this morning, young people, that as you go out from this place, choose your heroes carefully. They're not in the world. They have clay feet. If they're unsaved, they're as lost as they can be. And their direction for you will destroy you spiritually. Choose them well. Find a man of God that you admire and can appreciate and seek to emulate that lifestyle and that attitude and that philosophy that he has. When you go off to college, you're going to, if you're in Christian college, going to find that there are going to be a number of students there who do not have a heart for God. Find the ones that do. One of the men that was most influential in my life in my first year in college was a fellow who was a business major who ran in a serviceman center in Augusta, Georgia. I went on extension with him. One of the most godly men in all my years I met. I said, "How come you're not going into the pastorate?" He said, "God didn't call me. He called me to be a businessman. That doesn't mean I shouldn't be trying to win souls." We had 20-some guys going down there every Saturday. Got the focus right. I tell our kids when they go off to college, "Where are you going to go on extension? What church are you going to attend?" Because I know that if they don't get involved in a local church and get involved in ministry, their college experience is not going to give them what they need to fight in life. He had a heart to wait on God's man. It was a heart to wait on God as well. They came to the Red Sea, and God said to him, "Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." Curb your impatience, young people. I know you want to get out of here. I know you want to get through college. I know that you want to do all of these things. But listen, wait on God. Where will I go to college? Wait on God. Don't try to make decisions that God has not revealed the answer to. They also had a heart for worship. In Exodus 33:11, they'd been in the tabernacle. Moses went out. Joshua stayed there. There in that 11th verse, he stayed in the tabernacle waiting on God. What does that tell about his heart? He loved the Lord. He wanted to worship God. As you drive onto this campus, do you ever think in terms of worshiping God? You see the beautiful creation all around you. Do you think in worshiping God? When you graduate, will you see this as another step in your change of your life? In the development process, worshiping Him has to be the first priority in order for you to find His will. What's the will of God for you? Then he had a heart that would wholly follow the Lord. They were chosen, he along in Deuteronomy 1:36, they were chosen. He was chosen along with Caleb. Why? Because they wholly followed the Lord. They put Him first. "We're going to send you in to spy out this land. You two go. These 10 others, these men, these two said, we can well take the land." Why? Because Joshua didn't see his obstacles, he saw his God. You can do the same thing. And then it was a heart to willing, a willing heart, to take up the work of the ministry. Verse 2, he said, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now rise and go over this Jordan. Time for you to move on." You'll look back with fond memories to these days here. You'll look back to teachers that had a special impact in your life. A people that came and preached to you. That prayed for you. That cared about you. But it's time for you to move on. College looms before you. You're planning on going to college. That's the will of God for you. I hope before you decide where you'll go, you'll see God's face in this. It's not what you like. It doesn't matter what kind of dormitory or residence hall rooms they've got. It's where God wants you to be. Pray about that. Seek the guidance of godly people around you. Life and all its challenges are going to be faced. You're moving out. You're out of high school. And you are having to take that next step. As much as your parents want to hold you as they did when you were small, you're too big now. Your feet hang over the side. I have a granddaughter about to go to college. I remember her pushing a little plastic grocery cart through the mall. So excited. She was about 2. She's not 2 anymore. Got a driver's license and about to leave home. She's crying as she leaves. I'm crying. Her dad is crying. But we wouldn't have it any other way. She's not a little girl anymore. She's a young woman who's going to be serving God. You're young women who are going to be taking your place in serving God if you have a heart for Him. Our Lord tells us in Proverbs 23:26, "My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways." Give me your heart so you can see my ways. What are you going to be like next year this time? 5 years down the road. Will you be like Moses, who esteemed the reproach of Christ greater than the riches that were at his fingertips? Will you be like Joshua, who remains in the tabernacle because he just wants to be close to the Lord? He enjoys it. He loved it, being with his God. How about Samuel? Remember him? Hearing the voice of God. Even as a boy, will you hear God's voice? Oh, I know I ought to go to church. I hear that from people who got out on their own. I know it's not right, but... And all that they tell me is coming from a voice, but not God's. Are you sensitive to the Lord's voice? Timothy. Here's Timothy, young man starting out, and he is told not to be ashamed of his youth in the presence of his co-workers, his peers. How about you? Will you be one, as the Scriptures say to us, he pants after God? Is that what you really want? The will of God more than anything else? This professional Christianity that exists today, going to the right schools and going to the right group and being in the right church, all of that is emptiness unless you are where you ought to be in your own personal relationship with the Lord. One of God's own servants. You get that heart for God, whether you're going to be doctors, engineers, or truck drivers, or whatever God calls you to do, or if you're going into the ministry. And oh, how that need is great today. People are dying. People are lost. We have a world that is farther from God. We have a nation that is so paganized today that the ridicule is open of Christianity. God needs men and women who say, here am I, Lord. Send me. I'll go. If you have that heart for God, you're going to be a formidable weapon in His hands, getting the gospel to a lost world. Whether you're a Sunday school teacher, a deacon in a church, an usher, whatever God gives you opportunity to do, a willing heart comes out of a heart for God. I hope you'll have that in the days ahead. Question here is not, are you going to make a promise that you love the Lord, you'll serve Him? But the question really is my heart today wholly given to the Lord, or is my will battling this? I hope today you'll make this the day that you'll dedicate your life to Him. We say a lot of things when we're starting out, but that commitment of yours is not what you tell other people about, it's what you tell God about. I hope you'll do that. A great future for you in the midst of the uncertainty of this age. I hope that you'll avail yourself of the opportunity to be a pastor, a missionary, an evangelist, a layman working in a church, but above all, a man or woman whose heart is wholly given to the Lord. That's my prayer for you. I believe with young people that have those hearts, the future of the church is going to be much more secure. That the lost out there still have an opportunity for hope. If God's people are where they need to be with Him, you're it, and I hope you'll be a useful servant. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank You this morning for the privilege of being here today. For these young people, we ask for a special anointing of Your Holy Spirit. They are the precious treasures of their parents. Most of all, we trust that each of them have been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. They know You as their Savior, and they not only are willing, but they are offering themselves on the altar of a life that is sacrificially committed at any cost to serving You. May this be their desire in these days ahead. In Jesus' name, amen.